Blog Talk Radio.
I guess it's afternoon in some places on the East Coast. I'm here in the Austin, Texas area, so it's still kind of morning. We got about a half hour left. Thank you for dialing in and listening to us today. I'm Curtis Harwell. I'm your host here every week, three or four times, as many times as I can fit it in a week with my schedule. But I'm your host, Curtis Harwell, and you are listening to America's best and most listened to fitness show, The Curtis Harwell Show. And we're well over 5 million listens now, and you know what? We're going to be creeping up on 6 million before the end of the year. I got a feeling. So, but thank you for listening to the show. As always, I try to discuss topics that's going to help you and your family to a better and healthier lifestyle. I am a bodybuilder myself, but our show really isn't about bodybuilding. It's about health and fitness and all the different aspects of it. And we have shows on things that you probably would never guess that we'd ever do a show on. And but if you'd like to participate in the show, have any questions, want to add anything, you can get us at and talk on the show if you like. You can get me at 347-850-8748. We are live all of the time. We do have podcasts after the show. The podcast goes to iTunes right after the show, and then it's always on the site at the Curtis Harwell show site. So you can always look and listen to all of the podcasts from the last several years, so you can listen to anything. And we don't have too many double up topics. We every once in a while we do, but most all of the topics are all different. You can also get me at Facebook at Curtis Harwell. You can get me at Facebook also at Curtis Harwell Talk Radio Show. And you can get me again on Facebook at Curtis Harwell Fit. And if you want to do the deal on Twitter, you can get me at Curtis Harwell BB for bodybuilder, and I'll be over there and just participate. If you have any questions or anything, if you need help with anything that you haven't been able to get help with, kind of need some answers, you can also email me at curtis@curtisharwellfit.com. And curtisharwellfit.com is also my fitness website, so you can go over there and take a look at things there. But yeah, if you have any questions, you need help with anything, just send me an email, send me a line, send me a message on Facebook, and I'll see what I can do about helping you. Today we're going to have another terrific show. I think I probably say that every show, a terrific show, but I think it is. I get all of my topics for all of my shows from clients and friends and family and, you know, just people that I meet on the street, grocery store, Walmart. It doesn't matter. You know, people always have questions or they want to participate in the show. So I always try to do that. I have one of my clients, Stephanie. She's a new client, and she's one of those people that suffers from headaches. So we were talking yesterday, so I told her I'd get this on as a topic. So today we're going to have a show, kind of not everything, but I'm going to try to cover as much or as most everything that I can. But the show today is going to be everything you wanted to know about headaches and migraines, basically 101. So, you know, and we'll go through, you know, headache basics and everything. So just to give you an idea, I mean, I suffer from headaches and migraines myself. A lot of people that suffer from high blood pressure, normally not low blood pressure, but high blood pressure, sometimes one of the symptoms will be headaches, especially in the morning. So you can go to bed at night, you may or may not have a headache. You wake up in the morning, you feel refreshed, and then usually within a half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, you start developing a low-grade headache. And this can't. It's not always the case, because I want to preface all of this is, you know, if you're having headaches and migraines, see your doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I try to, you know, push you in the right direction if I can. And always the direction for me is always to see your family doctor. But that could be a sign of migraines, and I kind of talked about that a little bit with Stephanie yesterday. So, but just to give you an idea how prevalent headaches are, you know, over 45 million Americans or more suffer from chronic reoccurring headaches, okay? And out of these 45 million or so, 28 million people suffer from migraines. I'm a migraine sufferer, and I will tell you, if you've never had one, you don't want to get one. Sometimes when you get the migraine, you do have to take your shot, your medication for your migraine to kind of make it go away if you can. But a lot of times you just want to go in a dark room, no sound, and hide under the desk or bed. But now, out of these numbers, about 20% of children and adolescents really also experience significant headaches. And you know, if it's bad enough adults get it, you know, when children get headaches, it can be debilitating, and sometimes maybe as much or more in kids as it will adults. Now, what are the type of headaches? Because there's a lot of type of headaches. Now, there are several types of headaches out there, and in all actuality, there's about 50 or so diagnosed headache categories that have been established. That's astounding. There's 150 or more different types of headaches that you can have. Now, we're not going to talk about all 150. Today, we're going to talk about the most common types of headaches. Now, the most common types of headaches that you can get, number one is tension headaches. Now, these are also called chronic daily headaches or chronic non-progressive headaches. Now, tension headaches are the most common type of headaches among adults and adolescents, okay? Now, these muscle contraction headaches cause mild to moderate pain and come and go over a prolonged period of time. So that's a tension headache. Now, the next level, what we're going to talk about are migraines, okay? Now, the exact cause of migraines are unknown, okay? But there is a popular theory out there is that various triggers, you know, can cause abnormal brain activity, and which in turn causes changes in the blood vessels in the brain. Now, this is called the neurovascular theory. This is the neurovascular theory. Now, genetics play a huge role in migraines, and there are some forms of migraines that are associated with inherited abnormalities in certain parts of the brain. Now, migraine pain can be from moderate to severe, and it's often described by myself and other people as a pounding or a throbbing pain, okay? It's like you have a little alien inside of your head that is trying to get out. Now, migraine headaches can last from 4 hours to 3 days and usually occur 1 to 4 times per month. Now, and keep in mind also, migraines are individualized. So how one person has their migraines is not the same for another. Now, migraines are absolutely associated with symptoms such as sensitivity to light. As I said, dark, you know, you want to go into a dark room, noise where it's quiet, or old odors too can cause and be triggers for your migraine. Now, also you can have nausea or vomiting, loss of appetite, and stomach upset or abnormal pain when you're having a migraine. Now, when a child is having a migraine, he or she often looks pale, feels dizzy, has blurred vision, and can't have a fever, stomach upset, along with the symptoms that I just listed above for adults. Now, a small percentage of children's migraines include recurrent or cyclic gastrointestinal symptoms, and these can be vomiting. Vomiting is actually probably the most common. Now, cyclic vomiting means that the symptoms occur on a regular basis about once a month. Now, these types of migraines are sometimes called abdominal migraines, okay? Let's look at another type of headache syndrome. Let's look at mixed headache syndrome. Now, this is sometimes also called transform migraines. Now, mixed headache syndrome is a combination, let's say, of a migraine and a tension headache. Now, both adults and children experience this type of headache. So it's not one or the other get it. Almost anyone can get these transformed migraines, which is like a mixed migraine headache and a tension headache, okay? And again, both children and adults get this. Another thing that we can look at is cluster headaches. Now, this is the least common type of headache, although I've only encountered myself having cluster headaches, I think, in my lifetime, four times, but cluster headaches are the most severe type of headache that you can have. Now, it's a type of primary headache. The pain of cluster headaches are very intense, and the way that I describe it, it's having, let's say, a burning or a piercing quality that is throbbing and constant, okay? It's like I was saying with the migraine, it feels like somebody is, you know, taking a hammer to your skull trying to get out. When you have a cluster headache, it's like somebody is trying to get out of your head with a jackhammer. So it's a little bit different. It's more throbbing but constant. Now, sometimes the pain can be so severe that a lot of cluster headache sufferers cannot sit still and will often pace during an attack. And I've done that, like I said, I've had them a few times. Now, the pain is located behind one eye or in the eye region and without changing sides. Now, the term cluster headache refers to a headache that has a characteristic grouping of attacks. Now, cluster headaches occur 1 to 3 times per day during a cluster period. That's part of the reason they're so painful. Now, which may last 2 weeks to 3 months. It's absolutely crazy, but this can happen. Now, the headaches may disappear completely, go into remission for months or years, and only to recur every once in a while, okay? Now, another kind of popular, if you want to call it popular headache, is a sinus headache. Now, sinus headaches are associated with a deep and constant pain in the cheekbone area of the face, the forehead, or maybe the bridge of the nose. Now, the pain usually intensifies with sudden head movement or straining, and usually occurs with other sinus systems, such as, let's say, nasal discharge, feeling a fullness in the ear, in your ears, fever, and facial swelling. And you know when it's happening when you have a sinus headache. It's just awful, okay? Now, you can also have acute headaches. Now, acute headaches are seen in children, and these are headaches that occur suddenly and for the first time, and they have symptoms that subside after a relatively short period of time. Now, acute headaches most commonly result in a visit to the pediatrician's office and or the emergency room, because that's how bad they feel. Now, if there are no neurological signs or symptoms, the most common cause for acute headaches in children and also in adolescents is usually respiratory or a sinus infection. So those are two things to look for when that's happening. let's look also at hormone headaches. Now, headaches in women are often associated with changing, hormone levels that occur during, let's say, menstruation, pregnancy, and menopause. Now, chemically induced hormone changes, so let's say if you're taking birth control pills, these can also trigger headaches in some women. So, that can happen too. So if you're taking birth control pills can also be a trigger that will trigger headaches in some women. Not all women, but some women. Then we also have what's called chronic progressive headaches. And these are also called contraction or inflammatory headaches. Now, chronic progressive headaches get worse and happen more often over time. Now, these are the least common types of headaches. And they only account for maybe less than 5% of all headaches in adults, and probably less than 2% of all headaches in children. So now, but chronic progressive headaches may be the result of an illness or disorder of the brain or skull. So that is not something to play with. And again, if you are having headache problems, head to your doctor, get a checkup, have he or she take a look at you, get a complete workup so you can find out what's going on, because it's not natural, is my point. It's not natural. Now, are headaches hereditary? Okay. And the one-word answer to that is yes. Headaches, especially migraines, have a tendency to run in families. Now, most children and adolescents, or about 90%, who have migraines have other family members with migraines. Now, when both parents have a history of migraines, there is about a 70% chance that the child or you will develop migraines. If only one parent has a history of migraines, the risk can drop as low as from 50 to 25%, okay? So now let's quickly look at what causes headaches. This is really important, and I didn't want to have it in the first part of the show because you probably would forget it, and that's why it's more at the end of the show. Now, what causes headaches? Now, headache pain results from signals interacting between the brain and blood vessels and the surrounding nerves. Now, during a headache, specific nerves of the blood vessels and head muscles, okay, are activated and send signals to the brain or send pain signals to the brain. Now, it's not clear, however, why these signals are activated in the first place. So that's something we're still trying to figure out. Now, headaches that occur suddenly or in acute or just acute onset, they are usually due to an illness, an infection, cold, or fever. Now, other conditions that can cause an acute headache include such things, again, as sinusitis, okay? And sinusitis is inflammation of the, because it says itis, so if you got sinus and itis, you know that it's inflammation of the sinuses. And then you can have also inflammation of the throat or ear infection or an inflammation in the ear. So all of those things are part of the sinus system, okay? And so you have to look at those. Now, in some cases, headaches may be the result of a blow to the head or trauma. And we're rarely a sign of more serious. Rarely, it is a sign of more serious medical condition. Doesn't mean that you don't go to the doctor. You do go to the doctor, but sometimes headaches can be a result of something that's more serious. Now, common causes of tension headaches or chronic non-progressive headaches include emotional stress. You know, and I harp to my clients all the time about, you know, releasing stress, get rid of that stress, and it's very important that you do. And but again, it can include emotional stresses related to family and friends, work, school. If you use alcohol, you drink excessively, skipping meals, which is a big thing that I also preach with my clients. Make sure you eat five to six times a day, keep your blood sugar level normal, do all the things that you can do to keep food coming in and food going out. Now, Changes in sleep patterns can also affect tension headaches. Excessive medication use, tension and depression, all of those things can cause tension headaches. Now, other causes of tension headaches also include eye strain, especially if you wear glasses and you need to wear the glasses and you don't wear the glasses because of the strain on the eye ocular muscles, you can develop tension headaches, okay? And also neck or back strain, you can develop tension headaches because this is due to bad or poor posture, okay? I know the things don't sound practical sometimes, but they all have an effect. Now, headaches can also be triggered by specific environmental factors that are shared in a family's household, such as, let's say, exposure to secondhand tobacco smoke. Oh, yeah, I knew. I grew up in a household with two parents that chain smoked, probably smoked at least two packs of cigarettes a day. I developed, as a child, asthma. I'm good with it now. I no longer have to take medication and that, but it's been years, since I've been out of, the home with my parents. But secondhand smoke can is an environmental factor. Strong odors from household chemicals or perfumes, exposure to certain allergens or eating certain foods. And I talked to Stephanie about this yesterday. There are certain foods that you can eat that can also trigger headaches. And then also you have stress, pollution, noise, lighting, even believe it or not, weather changes is an environmental factor that can trigger headaches for some people. Now, too much physical activity also can trigger a migraine in both adults and children. So be sure to consult a doctor to find out what is causing your headache. I want to stress that. Find out from your doctor what is causing your headache. Now, question for you parents out there, do children outgrow headaches? Okay, now headaches may improve as a child gets older, okay? Now, headaches that may disappear or return later in life. So, by middle school, many boys who have migraines outgrow them. But in girls, migraine frequency increases because of hormonal changes. And migraines in adolescent girls are 3 times more likely to occur than in boys, okay? So, now, let's look at how a headache can be evaluated and diagnosed, okay? We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left here in the show. Now, the good news for headache sufferers out there like myself, yourself, other people, is that once a correct headache diagnosis is made, an effective treatment plan can be started. Very important. Can't get started unless you go see your doctor, though. Now, if you have headache symptoms, the first step is to go to your doctor. Do that. He or she will perform a complete physical exam and a headache evaluation. Now, during the headache evaluation, your headache history and description of headaches will be evaluated. So be forthright with your doctor. Don't hold anything back. Now, you will be asked to describe your headache symptoms and characteristics and do it as completely as possible. Now, it is very important to provide your doctor with a list of things that cause the headaches that you're having. Now, or things that aggravate the headaches and things that you have done to relieve the headache. What do you do to make your headaches go away? Now, keeping a headache diary can help your doctor diagnose the headache type. That is what I did when I went through the process with my doctor. I actually kept a little diary. So every time I had a headache, I would, put in it what time it started, what I ate within the last 2 hours before the headache, all of those things, what I did to get rid of the headache. Very important. Now, for most headache sufferers, special diagnostic tests will not be necessary. However, a headache evaluation sometimes can include a CT scan or an MRI. If you have a structural disorder of the central nervous system, and if it's suspected that you might. Now, both of these tests produce cross-sectional images of the brain, and that can reveal abnormal areas or problems. Now, skull x-rays are not helpful at all. Now, an EEG, which is an electroencephalogram, is also unnecessary unless you have experienced a loss of consciousness with a headache. Now, if your headache symptoms become worse or become more frequent despite treatment, ask your doctor for a referral to a headache specialist. Very important to do that. Because remember, you only have one life, and we all want to live as long as we can because we all have families. So if you have children, you want to see your children grow up, you want to see your children have grandkids, and if you're lucky enough to have great grandkids and be around and live and watch that, that is so special. So if you need more information, contact one of the organizations out there and doctors for a list of member doctors in your state that might be a headache specialist. Now, how are headaches treated? Now, your doctor may recommend different types of treatment to try, or he or she may recommend further testing, or actually refer you to a headache specialist. Now, you should establish a reasonable time frame with your doctor to evaluate your headache symptoms. Now, the proper treatment will depend on several factors, including the type and frequency of the headache and its cause. Now, not all headaches require medical attention. I can tell you right now, I no longer have to take medication, and when I get one that pops up, I take a couple of Excedrin migraines, and usually for me. Remember, this is only for me. I'm not telling you to do it. That will work for you. But for me, usually a couple of Excedrin migraines, and it's knocked out 15, 20 minutes later. Now, treatment may include education, counseling, stress management, biofeedback, and or medications. Now, the treatment prescribed for you will be tailored to meet your specific needs, not my needs or somebody else. Now, very important here. When your doctor starts a treatment program, keep track of the results and how the treatment program is working for you, okay? You want to keep your scheduled follow-up appointments so your doctor can monitor your progress and make changes in the treatment program that you're on as needed. So, you know, in closing here, let me say that there is nothing more precious that you have in this world than your life. And a lot of us, and I don't really include myself anymore because I've been through so many things. I live every day kind of now like it's my last day here on earth. And for me, that's been the best way to live because I get more out of what I do. But you need to put more stock in to what your life means, but not only what your life means to you, what your life means to the other people that are around you. And, you know, no matter what your faith is, I happen to be a Christian, you know, but no matter what your faith is, you know, you're here, put here for a reason to do as much as you could do, to be the best person possible, to add to this world. And the bottom line for me is, headaches sometimes sound, or you think that they're kind of benign. I got a little headache. I got a little ouchy in my head. Well, let me tell you, it can be severe, and you don't even recognize it. So if you have reoccurring headaches on a regular basis, please go to your doctor, get it checked out, get educated on what you can do to prevent them. Because it could be just as simple. For me, triggers for my headaches are sometimes strawberries, onions, hot chili peppers and things like that, jalapenos, strawberries sometimes. For me, a big trigger is nuts, peanuts, any kind of nut. I love nuts, almonds and everything. But for me, they can trigger a headache. Now, sometimes I'll go ahead and eat them, but I tell you what, I follow up by taking a couple of Excedrin migraines because I know it's going to trigger a really bad stress headache or sometimes trigger a migraine. So, you know, you watch what you eat. Eat on a regular basis. Get that food in you. You got to remember, keep in mind, from the neck up, your brain only burns carbohydrates. Your brain does not burn protein nor fat for energy. So if you're depriving yourself of the good, healthy, low glycemic starches you're not doing a service to yourself. You have to have those carbohydrates, the good starchy carbohydrates, for energy for your brain. And if you've ever had one of those fogged out days, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everyone, you have a fantastic day, and we'll see you on the flip side.